And we're going to be looking at John chapter 21. That's going to be our text this morning. Why was this period of time so important? I think it's really necessary to pay attention to what was taking place. Jesus was going to leave. Their whole conditioning was Jesus would tell them what to do, how to think, and sometimes they'd get it right and actually be able to follow him in it. But the day was coming very soon when he wouldn't be there. His 40 days with the disciples was not just about getting them to that upper room so they'd stay there 10 days. That's part of it. He was preparing them for a relationship with the Holy Spirit. Because after the day of Pentecost, he would not be there to tell them what to do. They would have to be led by the Spirit that was within them. They would have to develop a relationship with the Holy Spirit. My challenge to us is, do we have a relationship with the Holy Spirit? What kind of relationship? We always talk about a relationship with the Son, Jesus. And of course, in the triune nature, God, Father, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit are all one. We know that. But we focus on knowing Jesus. And if we know Jesus, who's he adored to? The Father. If we know the Son, we know the Father, having an intimate relationship with our Heavenly Father. But how often do you hear about having a relationship with the Holy Spirit? For many people, the Holy Spirit is a theory. We know that when we become a believer, the light goes on inside our life, we have the Spirit. Now I'm going to use interchangeably the words Holy Spirit and Spirit. They're the same. For many people, the Holy Spirit is a power source, right? When gifts of the Spirit are happening, prophecy, miracles, healing, we say, well, that's the Holy Spirit. True. But the Holy Spirit is more than that. The Holy Spirit is not some ghost floating around inside you. Holy Spirit is a person, just like the Lord is, a Father is. He wants to lead us in the ways of that God wants us to go. He's our teacher. He's the one to reveal to us what God is speaking. And when we talk about ears to hear what Jesus is saying, what are we saying? What are we talking about? Ears to hear what the Spirit is speaking to the church. It's the Holy Spirit is the avenue of God's voice to us. So Jesus was preparing them just like we need to be prepared for a deeper relationship with the Holy Spirit in this hour. Now, John 21 is about the third time Jesus was with the disciples. How do I know that? After very much study, looking at concordances and the history of the period. And also I looked at verse 14 that says this was the third time he was with the disciples. A lot of the clues are right there. But you know what amazed me? I always kind of assumed that the 40 days that Jesus had with them, it's kind of like, here he's back. It's like 24/7 he'd be with them. You guys, the day's coming, the day of Pentecost, a whole new age. I've got so much to share with you, so much to impart, so little time. Don't you think he would have been with them constantly? Yet read about it. He wasn't. He would drop in. They would be huddled in fear behind closed doors. He'd drop in and then leave. He'd appear. Road to Emmaus. They're talking about all the heavy things that happened. The Lord going to the cross. He appears, touches them. As soon as they recognize him, he's gone. I wonder, why was it so hard to recognize the Lord? Is it the miracle of him being resurrected? Was it so great that the human mind just couldn't grasp it? Was it just maybe the unbelief of just, you think about it. We look back and say, well, of course he risen from the dead. The scriptures talked about it, but to be living during that time, to have those words fulfilled, to have a risen Lord with you, I think it was beyond what their minds could handle. That could have been some of the problem with the recognition. I don't know. But he spent limited time with them. He didn't take them out of their confusion, out of their fears. He would come, he would appear, he would leave. Here they are in John 21, this third appearance. What are they doing? Fishing? So obviously they're not in some great state of revelation of something new is going to happen. Let's find an upper room. Let's, meet God. I mean, they're back to doing what they used to do. Yet the Lord is not alarmed. It's enough that he appears And what he does impart to them, he knows will get them through. So John chapter 21, the first thing he comes in, they're fishing. And let's go to verse 3. Simon Peter said to them, this is John 21:3, I'm going fishing. We will also come with you. They went out and got into the boat, and that night they caught nothing. But when the day was now breaking, Jesus stood on the beach, yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus therefore said to them, children, you do not have any fish, do you? No, we don't. He said to them, cast the net on the right-hand side of the boat, and you will find a catch. They did it. Great number of fish. Verse 7, that disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, it is the Lord. Then the recognition happens, and of course, Peter goes racing to the shore. What does this teach us about the Holy Spirit? Now, just kind of picture the setting here. They hear a voice from the shore saying, you haven't caught anything? Cast it on the other side. They don't know it's the Lord. Just a voice. To me, it's really a strong symbol of how religion works. You're out there in your boat, trying to do the will of God, trying to be spiritual, putting your net down, and coming up empty in our own efforts. What does religion teach? Well, the right thing to do is cast your net on the right side of the boat. No fish, just keep doing it. That's our tradition. That's our ritual. These are our doctrines. Religion is amazing. In the business world, if you try something and it fails, and you keep trying the same thing, they call you an idiot. Right? In religion, you try something that fails, and you keep doing it, they call you a saint, that you're persistent. Doesn't make sense. Religious nature is not about fruitfulness, it's about tradition and repetition. And thinking that because we're doing the same thing over and over again, we're pleasing God. Jesus comes and says, okay, put your net on the other side of the boat. Now, what difference should that make? I think they would draw the conclusion that if there's not fish here going to the other side of the boat, maybe this is just not a good area, not a good night to be fishing. They're asked to do something again that their minds probably are going, what's this mean? Yet they do it. They obey. The reality of a life in the Holy Spirit is not following people, it's following a voice, the voice of the Lord. And we're all left with our unfruitful religious traditions and habits and conditionings, and the Holy Spirit comes in and says, do it this way. We have to think a new way to follow the Holy Spirit. I only think on the right side of the boat. That's what I'm geared for. Okay, if I'm going to follow the Holy Spirit and he's going to say go to the other side of the boat, that's where the fruitfulness is going to be. You know, a beautiful thing about this is when we follow the Spirit, they got this great catch. What happened when they got the catch? It's Jesus. When the Holy Spirit is bringing forth fruit, it always leads back to the Lord. Yes. Matthew 5, let people see your good works and glorify God who is in heaven, your Father who is in heaven. The works of the Spirit will always bring us back to an awareness and a revelation and a deeper relationship with the Lord. So here they're listening to a voice. And I'm going to say this again. A lot of people in this hour in church are trained to hear their leaders, but they're not trained to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. That's got to change. Now, this is how he was preparing them. Because all they would have after the day of Pentecost, is they wouldn't have a physical Jesus. They would have a spiritual voice that they were being asked to follow. When we obey the voice of the Holy Spirit, we become fruitful. Acts 5:32 says, let me just read this real quick. We are witnesses of these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him. When we obey the Spirit, we obey the voice that comes. It says the Holy Spirit is given to us. Okay, we already have the Spirit. Can we look at it this way? Our experience with the Spirit, our relationship with it, the reality of the Spirit, that's given to us in a greater way as we move in obedience. Now, Jesus sits down with the disciples, and he has a meal with them. Why is this important? He wasn't some ghost floating in and out. He's sitting down with his disciples and he's saying, I know you guys, your minds are just blown. You don't know what's happening here. But look, I'm eating with you. I'm fellowshipping with you. The other challenge for the Holy Spirit is we try to kind of make it off the spiritual realm into some place far away and just mystical and not very real. If we're really walking in the Holy Spirit, it's going to be practical. It's going to be real. God wants to have a relationship with us in the Spirit where we dine with Him, fellowship with Him. In our lives, the things that we do, the things that matter to us, matter to God. He wants to be involved in our lives in that way. And that's what Jesus is doing here. He's breaking down the barriers and saying, hey guys, you hungry? Here, let's eat together. We go on down to verse 15, and you know this deals with the Lord speaking to Peter, do you love me more than these? Yes, Lord, I love you. And of course, we're not going to go into now the different types of love, agape love, and what was going on in that way. What I want to point out is Jesus is looking at not just Peter, but his disciples and saying, do you love me? What does it mean to love the Lord? Everybody can sing songs of praise. We can all mouth prayers. They may be real to our heart. They may be just something we say because we're fear punishment. We want to be sure God is smiling on us. I mean, who knows what's really happening on a heart level? Our words can betray us. But Jesus is saying, if you really love me, here's how it's demonstrated. Feed my sheep. The Holy Spirit is not a theory and is not into theory. The Holy Spirit is about demonstrating the love of God. And a life being led by the Spirit is a life that's not spent with a lot of words about things. It's a life spent serving one another in love. Amen. Feed my sheep. He didn't say preach at my sheep. A lot of people are being preached at and are undernourished. They're getting no nourishment at all. Feeding has to do with nourishment. It has to do with the Holy Spirit coming through your life and bringing life to someone else. That's what he's talking about. When that is flowing in the body, when we're touching one another, connecting with one another in that way, what's happening? We're loving him. Amen. We'll go on down. There's two more examples here. I think that verse 18, he says, truly, truly, I say to you, when you were younger, Peter, you used to gird yourself and do whatever you wanted to do. When you grow old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will gird you and bring you to where you do not wish to go. He was talking about the death he was going to die. I don't want to talk about the death we're going to die. I mean, that's for Peter, that was, you know, I think it went even deeper than that. He talked about who would be in control of Peter's life. Peter was rash, impetuous, had a good heart, but he did things his way. And we know the problems he ran into with that. But something so beautiful here, when we're involved with the Holy Spirit, our plans are going to change. And that's very simple, but I think one of the biggest things we struggle with in life is we all have plans, and we don't like our plans interrupted. Now, some personality types do better with this. I happen to be one that does not do better with this. I'm one that if I get things in my head, you come up and say, David, we want to change the plan here. It's not that what you're suggesting is a bad idea. It may be a better idea, but I'm so set on doing it this way, it takes me a while to change gears. My daughter knows all about that. My wife is really good at making changes with everything. And I just, you know, I struggle with it. Well, we're not talking about whether you have a personality that's more adaptable to change. We all need the grace of God in this. Because all of us in our natural thinking plan our life out. We have plans for things. If we're going to follow the Holy Spirit, Amen. We have to be willing to have our plans changed. And that's what he's telling Peter. You used to do what you wanted to do. Another's going to take you away that you weren't thinking of. Not a way that's bad, that necessarily is a way of suffering, but it's going to take you away that has not entered into your thoughts. Yes. Are we willing to have the Spirit take us into territory that we already haven't planned out with our minds? Like Abraham. Abraham, go out. Where? That wasn't answered. Just go out. Are we willing to live that kind of life of faith and trust? if we're going to have a relationship with the Holy Spirit, that's always going to be a challenge with us. Our plans versus the mind of the Spirit. Because again, the Spirit is not just this power source in your life. The Holy Spirit is a different mind than our natural minds. It's the mind of the Father. The last thing we're going to look at, verse 20, Peter, turning around, saw the disciple whom Jesus loved following them, the one also had leaned back on his breast at the supper, and he said, "Lord, who is the one who betrays you?" Peter, therefore, seeing him, said Jesus, "Lord, and what about this man?" Jesus said to him, "If I want him to remain until I come, what is that to you? You follow me." I want to stay on this just for a couple minutes, because I think when we relate incorrectly to one another, "Lord, what about this one? You know, life's really not fair. How come I'm going through this? And what about that guy over there?" I know these are questions you never ponder or ask. These are the kind of questions that never lead anywhere good. You never figure it out. Why is life unfair? The more time you give to think about it, you're probably going to find a pathway to resentment, to anger, depression, bitterness, whatever. Life is a mystery. God holds it that way. We're not meant to figure all those things out. When we relate to one another incorrectly, out of jealousy, out of envy, comparing, maybe out of a condescending attitude, "Well, I'm better than this person," because all of that, what we lose is the capacity to follow the Spirit. What is he telling Peter? He says, "Peter, it's none of your business. You follow me." In other words, if you make this other disciple your business, you won't follow me. We get caught up in jealousy, looking at someone and saying, why is my life not like this? That kind of energy pulls you away, and you're not following the Lord anymore. We don't realize what's happening to us. We don't realize how it affects our spirit. We're so conditioned in the natural to compare with others. This is powerful. To have a life and a relationship with the Holy Spirit, it means we're going to learn how not to do that. How not to look at one another. You don't need to compare with anyone else. The reality is the same for all of us. We all need to follow the Lamb wherever he goes. And that's the reality of the Holy Spirit within us, to lead us in that way. Amen. Father, we want a more intimate relationship with your Spirit. We ask this morning that you open to each of us by revelation how that intimacy can deepen, how we can break out of this religious realm into the Spirit, to know the freedom, to know the power, to have the Holy Spirit as our friend, as our comforter, as the one that we know is leading us into the fullness of all that you have for us. Help us to be honest with our challenges and when we're being resistant, so that we can humble our hearts and see those walls of resistance melt down. Amen.